On Friday night, I get a text from Mark Winter, pretty much saying, "Hey Jason, feeling a little under the weather. You think you might be able to preach on Sunday?" Usually, I get at least a week ahead of time. And so I was thinking, well, my wife and I, we made a decision years ago and felt the Lord leading us. Whenever we were asked to speak, if our schedule would allow it, we would always say yes. Well, I'll just be honest, there was a little hesitation this time. Less than 48 hours. But my wife and I talked about it, we prayed about it, and we just really sensed the Lord leading me to be here today. And talked more with Mark on Saturday, and he was still holding out. He was still, "Well, I'm still praying that I'll be able to be there." And then later on I got a text saying, "Nope, you're going to do it." So I'm going to do it. So I'm here, and I just appreciate the opportunity that Mark's giving. And also, I want to thank you all for allowing me to be here. And just pray that we all have hearts to hear, ears to hear, spirit to hear what the Lord will be sharing today. Let's open up with Hebrews 11, though. If you could turn to your Bibles there. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 is what we'll take a look at. And while you're turning there, just so you know, there will be no PowerPoint slides today. I guess I could have whipped them together, but I'm like, I'm not going to worry about that, not be anxious. And so we'll get to crack open our Bibles even more. So let's take a look at Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 as we get started. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Let's pray. God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for this congregation, and I pray in Jesus' name that you would speak your word today, that your message would speak to each one of us in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirit. I pray, God, that we not only hear, but do. I lift this up in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Have you ever stopped and reflected on your life and wondered how in the world you ended up where you are? This can happen in either a very positive or a very negative light. Personally, I've had those moments when I've found myself leading a youth ministry in Upper Sandusky, Ohio, or ministering to street kids in Toronto, Canada. I grew up in the state of Minnesota and then spent 6 years of my life in Seattle, Washington. When I look back at my life, I realize not much of it could have been predicted, and most of it is an example of God's grace, his providence, and his good plan. Most of you could probably say the same thing about your own lives and the directions that they've taken. We don't always realize that God is working when he is, but it's fairly easy to see when we take a moment to reflect on our lives. However, the question I shared earlier can also be asked when we find ourselves in the midst of negative circumstances. I can think of very specific times in my life when I looked around at the destruction and misery that surrounded me as a result of my own choices. And wondered, how could I have gone down the wrong path this far? Again, I'm sure many of you hearing this could say that you've had those moments in your life as well. The results in our lives can often be traced back to either God's goodness or our own sins. What we should know as believers in the Lord is that when we follow Him, it's a dangerous thing to evaluate our decisions and lives solely on our circumstances. While reaping what you sow is generally a true concept, and it's very biblical. You can find it in Galatians 6:7. The reaping doesn't always make sense to our finite minds or worldly ways of examining our circumstances. God sometimes blesses those who don't deserve it, even when they're caught in sin, and sometimes allows others to suffer when they appear to be following Him wholeheartedly. God uses everything according to His will. And sometimes we don't reap the rewards of our faith until we spend eternity with Him. One faithful hero who likely often wondered how he could end up where he did was the prophet Jeremiah. Despite his faithfulness to Almighty God, he was known as the weeping prophet and rarely reaped any positive consequences from his obedient sowing. More than just mental anguish, friends, over the state of his people, he also experienced great physical and emotional torment. Hebrews 11:36, it tells us about some of the anonymous faithful, and I'd like us to turn there if you're able. Hebrews 11, we'll start in verse 35 about the anonymous faithful. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Again, we see this in Hebrews 11:35-37. Again, it tells us that some of the anonymously faithful, they faced jeers and floggings, which could probably be characterized today as severe verbal and physical abuse. Jeremiah was one of several people from the Old Testament who would likely fit this description. In Jeremiah 20, we see that a priest named Pashur, who at the time was the official who was in charge of the temple of the Lord, he has Jeremiah beaten and put in stocks because he was upset about the things Jeremiah was preaching regarding the Lord's anger toward the sins of the nation. You can see that in verses 1 through 2. Some suggest that the expression translated as beaten mostly refers to the 40 lashes minus 1. It's a concept applied during a severe flogging, 39 lashes. The Apostle Paul experienced this most painful beating 5 times. In addition, the stocks refers to a structure in which a prisoner was locked into a twisted and confined position to cause increasing pain and discomfort. By the way, this was likely after he had already been flogged. So, it's not like his wounds were healed before his body was forcefully contorted. Verse 3 tells us that Jeremiah was released the next day, which means, friends, that he was kept in that position for the rest of the day. This did not stop Jeremiah from continuing to speak whatever the Lord commanded him to speak. He was a prophet of the Lord and was not willing to water down the message in order to make people happy and save himself from harm. Jeremiah would face many other obstacles and extreme punishments during his time as a prophet, including, friends, being thrown into prison. We see this in Jeremiah 37, and then lowered into a cistern with no water and only mud in it. You see this in Jeremiah 38. The last punishment of lowering into the cistern was intended to kill him. Friends, he was done. Jeremiah 38:6 tells us that he sank down into the mud. Friends, I think that's one of the cruelest things someone could go through. Especially since all he did was obey God. He was literally sinking into the mud in this cistern, deep in the ground, with no way to save himself or meet any of his other needs. He would die by either suffocation in the mud or starvation, whichever happened first. God moved in the heart of one of the officials to rescue him before it was too late. But Jeremiah was certainly aware of how much pain had come to his life because he was obedient. Friends, there's a section in the book that specifically lays out Jeremiah's complaint to Almighty God. It's found in Jeremiah 20:7-18. I do encourage you to read this on your own, but I'd like to share it with you now to help us to see how Jeremiah was. And this might even be familiar for your own life. Really pay attention to how he is. O Lord, you induced me and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. For I heard many mocking, fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. All my acquaintances watched for my stumbling, saying, perhaps he can be induced. Then we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Your everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous and see the mind and heart, let me see your vengeance on them. For I have pleaded my cause before you. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Cursed be the day in which I was born. Let the day not be blessed in which my mother bore me. Let the man be cursed who brought news to my father, saying, a male child has been born to you, making him very glad. And let the man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew and did not relent. Let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noon, because he did not kill me from the womb, that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb always enlarged with me. Why did I come forth from the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame? Again, friends, I encourage you to go home today and read this on your own. At first glance, it may come across like Jeremiah is deranged. I mean, friends, he is literally going back and forth from worship to whining, worship to whining. But friends, such is the life of one who obeys the Lord in the face of intense opposition and endures all of the pain that comes with it. He says he is ridiculed all day long and mocked by everyone. He adds, the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. And friends, we already know about his beatings and the floggings. He reflects on his life and has the thoughts, I think, that most of us would. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see this trouble, this sorrow, to only end my days in shame? Yet even in the midst of all the pain and suffering that Jeremiah faced, he reminds himself that he was born to be the very prophet of the Lord that he was. But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, Jeremiah says, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Jeremiah knew what he was born to do. God told him in Jeremiah 1:5 that he knew him before he was born and that he had appointed him as a prophet to the nations. And the thought of not doing it was worse than enduring the pain and suffering that came because he was obedient to the Lord. Friends, this is a faithful hero. He may have faced jeers and floggings, but his obedience forced the people who should have been honoring God all along to have to face their own wickedness. And while they ultimately did not listen, please hear that, they didn't listen to Jeremiah. They were overtaken by the Babylonians as a result. But friends, Jeremiah could rest knowing that he did everything that he could to stop it. So friends, are you willing to speak the truth of God's words to others, no matter what it causes to take place in your life? Friends, people may not listen to you, but that's between them and God. What you share and how you represent God's word to them, that's between you and God. And friends, you may not reap good circumstances for yourself in this lifetime. We need to trust in God that he has our full reward and will reap the benefits that we'll find in eternity. Friends, if your children, if your parents, if very close dear friends mock and ridicule you because of your stance for Jesus Christ, the one who died for you, are you willing to take that on and say, okay, I will stand for the one who died for me no matter what? Even to be ridiculed, mocked, whatever. That's between you and God. We need to love. Loving means telling the truth. And when someone doesn't listen, telling them the truth again. In love. Friends, tough love is true love. I encourage you right now as I close to ask God to reveal to you in your heart, in your mind, who is he calling you to reach out to in your life? Maybe it's someone at your job. In love, again. Even when you share the truth and they don't want to listen, you can share it again and again. I have been blessed to have an example from my father, and I thank God for him. My father, when I grew up, when I was a little boy, he was an alcoholic. Truly. He got into a really bad car accident in 1976 that should have taken his life. The car accident was so bad that the engine of the car was ripped out of the car, and they had to go and grab it and put it into the car after the accident. He hit a culvert head on. All he came out from there was with a broken collarbone, and he had a gash in his head. That was it. They don't even know how many times the car flipped. After that, the only people that came and saw my father were people he didn't know. The pastor of the church my mom was attending with us children, and those who attended that church. Not one of his drinking buddies came and saw him, and he gave his life to the Lord in the hospital. And he has not touched one drop of alcohol since that day that he gave his life over to the Lord. My dad worked on the railroad. So you can only imagine how fun it was when he'd show up to work with his Bible under his hand, under his arm, and Bibles in the car to give out to anyone willing to listen. He lost many, 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 many friends. But he didn't care about that, because he wanted the truth to be made known. I am so thankful for my father for giving me the example of what it means to follow Jesus no matter what. Those of you who work in factories, I'm not saying you got to be preachy. But when you're getting drugged down by some of the stuff going around in a factory, don't get involved in it. Smile, and when things are bad, go, oh well, I guess that's how it goes. Instead of losing your tongue, instead of complaining, whining, like we all want to do, right? Let's just be honest, we all want to. Let's show people the way. Before I close up, I want to also show you your bulletin. On the front of it, I don't have it up here with me. I seemingly forgot it, but, oh, I did not. All right. On your bulletin, right there is a picture of an opportunity that has been given to this congregation. It says, Kentucky Flood Relief Mission Trip, October 2nd through the 7th. I want to encourage you to seriously consider going on this trip. Friends, yes, for you. But if you haven't figured it out by now, our world's in serious trouble. Not just about the flooding. I'm asking you adults to seriously consider taking time off of work, talking to your boss and saying, I want to go down and help. Not just with these people, but get to know the youth in your community. They need discipled so badly, it's insane. They need to know about Jesus. Not just so they come to him, but then Jesus' kingdom can be expanded right here in Old Fork, right here in the surrounding communities. Seriously, pray about going. And I do want to say, if you're sensing in your heart, yeah, I should probably go, then go talk to Eli out at the table. Tell him I'm interested in going. Friends, it's $75. I don't know any trip you can make for $75. Let's be honest, even in the great economy we're in, it's not that much money. Surely, you can find $75 somewhere to go. And if you're going, well, I just can't, I've got work, or I've got a bad leg, whatever, okay. Then how about give $75 to the church so someone else can go in your place? It's okay to do that too. Let's close up in prayer as the worship team comes back up. God, I just thank you so much for Old Fork Church. I thank you for this congregation. Thank you for this opportunity to speak truth in love today. I pray that people will really take this to heart. Pray that you would speak in their minds, their heart, their spirit, of what you would ask them to do. Not me, not Jason, you. I lift this up in Jesus' holy name. And all God's people said, amen. So I want to encourage you to trust Jesus. And with that, I also want to encourage you to take a look at the back side of your bulletin on those notes that you didn't use today, that you use next week. And I want you to look at the bottom of that right now. Because yes, we need to trust Jesus, but many people today are asking, well, why should I trust Jesus? And friends, that's why discipleship is so incredibly important. Not just you being discipled, but you discipling somebody, sinking your life into them, helping them to see the importance of following Jesus. So there's a resource there on the bottom that the church is encouraging you. It says, read this book, The Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. I greatly encourage you to read that book if you haven't. Richard Foster is an amazing person. Someone we all can learn from. I encourage you, again, to try to find someone, not just to disciple you, but that you can sink into their life and disciple them. Friends, we've been raised for such a time as this. You're living in this time because God knew what was going on. If you're fearful, if you're anxious about something, don't be. God already has it in control and he's completely sovereign, meaning he knows he's going to take care of it. So stop worrying. Don't be in fear. Don't worry about controlling things. Trust God. You've been raised for such a time as this. Friends, these stickers, I got a few over here. Just take one. Put it somewhere in the morning you can see this to remind yourself every day. I have been raised for such a time as this. Friends, do not be afraid to serve Christ. Go in peace. Serve the Lord this week in all that you do without fear. Go in peace.